Welcome to your mom's house.
This season, Instacart has your back to school, as in they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit, and they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So, first call your parents to say, "I'm sorry," and then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the program. We're here. We're queer. We're not going anywhere.
Get used to it.
Yep. Learn how to say it.
You've got a cool summer dad shirt on.
Yeah. So I knew it was going to be 145 today. So I just said, fuck it.
But this is a new corner that you've turned, because once you get into summer dad attire, you're officially a dad.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a little story about my fat Indian stepdad who's now dead.
Okay.
There was a time like he did dress cool, and then he turns 50 something, and then he would go to Tommy Bahamas. And
I did not go to Tommy Bahamas.
His favorite. Sorry. Yeah. And look, that's a little Tommy Bahama.
No.
The flowers and stuff. Where did you get this?
I got it at a department store. It's made by a company called Vince. And I just thought, you know, it's very hot in this climate, in this area we live in. So something that goes with the, incredible heat and humidity here.
Yeah.
I feel your judgment. You were wearing a curious top for this weather. Mink sweater.
Do you know why?
100 degrees out.
Because it's freezing in here. Nah. That's what we do. I'm colder in the summer than I am in the winter, because you guys make it 60, because all the guys in here are like, I'm hot.
Yeah.
I'm hot.
Fully retarded.
Very hot out.
It is very hot. Can I tell you something that's really cool that's been going on for the last week?
What?
Is I have a ding dong on my nose. Now I put makeup on it.
Yeah, you look like Rudolph.
It's one of those that is so awfully placed.
Yeah.
It's like the worst place to get
it. I've had it before too, yeah.
Why? Why does God give it to you right on the tip of your nose?
He's trying to teach you a lesson.
It's like the most humiliating.
He's teaching you a lesson. He's making you think about your week. What did you do this week?
I know. You know what's interesting is that, though, now that I'm old, I don't care as much. I just cover it up and I go on with my life. But I remember getting a ding dong here when I was like 15 or 14.
Yeah. You want to not go to school. You're like, I'm not going to school.
Yeah.
Anymore. Yeah.
I think I skipped school one day because then you pick at it and you're like, just get rid of it. And it makes it worse.
I love squeezing them.
Of course.
In high school, and just you hit the mirror with it.
I'm going to throw up.
Yeah. I would do that. You go, you see pus and blood on the
Thank
mirror.
Thank you. Did you have bad acne?
No, not bad. I was lucky. But,
yeah.
You know, you'd get zits still.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
This is hormonal. Wait, because I had my period last week. You had your period too.
I had my period
Did
too.
You get any zits?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not too bad. Not like that one.
Yeah.
That one's really bad.
Yeah. Well, I'm done now. Did your boobs hurt?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Is your period over?
Yeah, done. Yeah, I know.
Heavy flow or no?
It was pretty light.
What do you use? What do you like? Use Tampax? What do you use?
Yeah, I like a plastic applicator. What kind do you like?
Plastic applicator too. Yeah.
Really? What size are you using nowadays?
Large.
Large.
Mm-hmm.
Large.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're not called large.
They are
super. It's super regular and slim.
Well, super is how we. You know, it's another word for large.
And you use the plastic applicator?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where do you put the applicator once you're done with it? Where?
When I'm done with it,
mm-hmm.
I flush it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I usually look for something that says don't flush here and I put it in there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not nice to flush the plastic applicator down the toilet.
I know. It always says don't put any other foreign objects here, and then I put it in there. But I do it in public. I don't do it at home.
And what underwear do you wear when you're on your period?
I don't wear thongs.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you switch up what you wear, or you just wear your normal?
No, I have a wider pair.
A what?
Wider pair of underwear.
Whiter?
Wide.
Oh, wider.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why wider?
I just feel more comfortable because I kind of feel gross when I'm having my period and I don't feel like wearing something sexy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sames. Samesies.
Oh, really? Yeah. I just shut it down those days.
Oh, I shut it down so hard. Mm-hmm. I don't even feel like living. I just want to stay in bed.
Me too.
And I get so sweaty. Do you get sweaty?
Yeah, I get diarrhea too.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yep.
It's weird. You and I totally are cycling now.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Well, men can have periods.
Oh, of course men can have periods too.
So, yeah, you know, it's interesting. Speaking of diarrhea, I farted the other day. It's one of the rare times that I farted. And right away you go, did you have sushi? And I go,
yeah.
Yeah, true I story. Did have sushi. And you go, yep, I can smell my baby's.
Yeah.
My baby ate.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. When you have a child, a little infant, you can start telling what they ate based on their gas.
Yeah.
You farted and I smelled sushi.
Crazy.
It was like it was wild.
It was so salmon. Special. Yeah.
Salmon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. I wonder, I'm going to start trying to identify. Usually when your farts are sour, that's like eggs.
Mm.
You know what you did, which was really smart? You were flying. We're about to get on a flight.
Yeah.
And then you had a sushi burrito.
That was a poor choice. What happened was, it was Heather's birthday. And she got to pick whatever she wanted for lunch, and she chose this place. And it had they gave us a tuna, like a tuna poke kind of wrap. It was like a big sushi roll, basically.
Mm.
And I got the spicy, and I got extra spicy sauce on it. I remember as I was like two bites into it, you go, "Aren't you going to fly in a couple hours?" And I said, "Yeah." You go, "Is that the smart thing to be eating before that flight?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Why don't you mind your own business?"
Yeah.
And then,
stupid bitch.
I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
It was one of the rare times you were right. It was a very poor decision. And I had very big problems on the flight and post flight. It destroyed me. Yeah.
Did you diarrhea on the plane?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was hot. It was spicy.
Oh, that's the worst.
Feel it coming out with heat. And I'll tell you what I didn't do.
What?
I didn't make a business call while I was doing it. You're out of your mind.
So can I tell you what I started doing?
Started doing?
Well, I just started doing this.
Jesus Christ.
I just started. Can I tell you why?
Just coming into your own?
I really am. Now that I'm 48, I really have entered a level of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so free, Tom.
You are free.
I really am because I am on death's door. I don't have many years left.
I know.
And you know what?
What?
I see why older people are just cooler because you're like,
they don't give a shit.
So I started doing business calls and I was on the toilet the other day.
Well, we all do business calls on the toilet. Everybody does business calls on the toilet.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but the difference is no one even has to learn this. It's just a built-in normal function of etiquette where when you're on a call and you're on the toilet, you speak and then you hit mute while you're doing your business.
Okay.
And you told me, you're like, oh, I don't hit mute.
I don't hit mute.
So you listen. So people listen to you pee and fart and flush.
Well, here's the difference.
Lunatic.
I don't, hold on. I feel as though if I were to speak and then mute, speak and mute.
Yeah.
That is more sus. As the kids say,
no,
it's more suspicious.
It's not
than me. Just that they have the regular background noise, and then I pee. I don't fart every time I pee. That's you. I'm a woman. I don't fart
every time I pee either.
I think a lot of men do.
No, we don't all fart every time.
Yes, when you're at the urinals, telling me that men fart at the urinals
sometimes, but it's not every time. It's not every time. It's not close to every time. But the difference is if you're on the toilet. You just mute when you're not talking. And if you're going to make a noise like with pee, you mute it. So you let them hear you pee.
I let them hear me pee. And here's the interesting thing.
Who are you doing this with?
Brendan, our merch guy.
He just heard you piss?
But he didn't say anything.
Well, yeah, because he's super polite.
But here's the thing, man. Here's the deal. Is also because I am a woman, I also think that there's no, people would be like, there's no way this girl is sitting on the toilet because
no,
she's
the
a girl. Right? They're like, there's no way a woman would sit on the toilet.
The only
and do
thing that could be happening is that while you're peeing, the guy is jacking off because you're peeing. Because some guys really like to hear a girl pee. So that could be happening.
God, that's so disgusting.
Well, welcome to the real world.
So everything is, why is everything sexualized?
Well, your peeing is.
Everything.
Yeah.
Even, well, my Browning? No, yeah. That's
yeah, some right. guys are going to definitely. Please don't make so much noise so I can hear you shit more clearly.
But I don't think they hear me Browning because it's very quiet when I Brown. Uh-huh. I don't make big drops like you. You, sure. When you do it, it's catastrophic.
It's not.
It sounds like a disaster every
Let's
time.
Let's start the show. Crazy.
Nobody
man.
Knows. Ask Brendan. Hold on.
The answers are, look, the world is a great place. It's just inhabited by and it's the internet's fault. That's just the way it is.
Amen.
I love him.
Don't
so
bring
much.
Anyone love into this.
No Gallagher.
Your mom in the fuck is dead!
Welcome to your mom's house with Tom Segura. Tom Segura. And
Christina Pajitsi. Christina Pajitsi.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Can I tell you, I've always loved the Gallagher brothers, but lately I'm on a Noel Gallagher kick.
Yeah.
Because I love everything this guy says. He's a fucking... Ugh. He's like, the world is a great place inhabited by...
Ugh.
And it's the internet's fault.
All right, hold on.
Isn't that the truth?
Let's do this real
quick.
That
is a true thing.
How do we... Okay, we're calling.
Should we tell the audience when we're doing?
Yeah, we're calling Brendan. We're calling Brendan right now. The person that Christina was speaking to. What's up, guys? Wednesday, August 7th, I will be appearing at the Asheville Comedy Festival in Asheville, North Carolina. Then the next day, Thursday, August 8th, I'm at the Berglund Center in Roanoke, Virginia. Tickets and all info is at tomsegura.com/tour. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. I use ZBiotics and it worked. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly and you'll feel your best tomorrow. That's all you got to do, man. You got to get that ZBiotics in your system before you start pounding the booze, and then you're going to have a much better feeling the next day. Vacations, weddings, birthdays, and reunions. Oh my, so much going on. Get the most out of your spring plans by stocking up on pre-alcohol now. Go to zbiotics.com/YMH to get 15% off your first order when you use YMH at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/YMH and use the code YMH at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times. I see away luggage a lot when I travel, and as much as I love its looks, I prefer soft side suitcases and always wished Away made one. Well, guess what? Now they do. This suitcase seriously looks better than any old school soft side suitcase I've seen and is designed to be lighter than others on the market. Soft side comes in four of their best-selling sizes and tried and true colors. There's something for everyone in this lineup. Two carry-on sizes, two check sizes, four colors, black, blue, pink, and gray. Made from a high-strength nylon, the bag is tear-resistant as well as weather-resistant. The bag is soft but not sensitive, super durable, flexible, and expandable. I gotta tell you, as somebody who travels all the time, you want these soft side ones. They're easier to get things into. They're easier to put in the overhead. They're easier to lug around. You gotta get one. You gotta check out the new soft side luggage from Away. Head over to awaytravel.com/YMH. That's awaytravel.com/YMH to see the new soft side luggage from Away. Awaytravel.com/YMH.
So I peed and pooped.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Brendan.
Hey.
Hey, this is Tom, and you're on your mom's house right now, just so you know.
Oh, awesome.
So we just had a revelation, and we had to call you to follow up on this. Christina spoke to you recently. Did you have any idea what she was doing while you were speaking to her?
I did not.
No, because she just shared. She's the only person I know like this, that she was using the bathroom, but she doesn't mute when she does business calls in the bathroom.
That's wonderful to find out.
And so I think she peed and shit, and she's like,
two separate calls.
Two separate
calls.
One I peed
on with
you. That is making sense now.
And I was like, why don't you just hit mute, like, when you're done speaking and do your business? She's like, no, I just do it. And I'm like, that's insane.
But Brendan, you didn't notice.
I did not notice.
Wow.
See? And if you did.
I did not notice.
And if you did, why don't you think, like, oh, it's one of the kids?
Yeah, I would have assumed that only a child would do that.
Right. Like, you wouldn't, in your wildest dreams, imagine that a nice woman like me would do that.
Never, never. Expect it from Tom, but not from you.
And
thank
Brendan,
you.
Have you ever done a call on the toilet?
I am on the toilet right now.
You are? Okay. And do you do the mute and then release thing?
Yep.
Yeah, see?
It's like a courtesy flush.
Exactly.
But he's a man.
Have some respect.
I don't make as loud a sounds as he does. He obviously didn't hear them, and he didn't suspect it, because I'm a woman. No harm, no foul.
So you're just going to keep rolling that dice?
Of course I am. Of course I am. Who cares? Everybody I talk to knows me and loves me. They know I love them. Right, Brendan? We're practically family.
100%.
Who do I talk to? Agent Jeans, Brendan.
Okay.
There's like five people I talk to regularly, maybe.
All right.
They all know.
I'm kind of honored. Yeah. Actually honored.
You know what I'm going to do as a courtesy to you is I'm going to take it for a spin. I'm going to go ahead and do my next call the same way. No mutes.
You're going to lose friendships, though. You're going to lose business relationships.
No.
Could you do a notes call with Netflix on
Brendan,
the toilet?
Brendan, I will call you back. I need to call you to talk about some stuff. And
Disable video if you're going to be on the shitter.
Okay. I won't use video, but I'll go completely unmuted, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
He was unmuted
Thank
himself
you.
To talk.
Thank you, Brendan.
Did you hear that?
Okay.
My pleasure.
All right.
Thank you, Brendan. Right, yeah.
Yeah. You're insane.
I don't talk to as many people. I literally talk to Asian Jeans, Brendan, some friends.
You're so crazy.
That's it.
Whatever.
You, man. Do you hear me shitting? I do it to you all the time.
Yeah.
But I know when you're doing it. I know when you're doing it. When you call me from the road, you're always on the toilet because you're always delayed. I'll ask you a question and there's a time delay and yeah. I'm like, oh, he's shitting.
How does the time delay affect
Because I'll be like, hey, babe, so what are we doing the thing? And you go, I'm like, babe, and you're like, well, we're going to go to the thing.
Oh, because I'm muting and I'm muting. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, see, I do it to you. I'm nice. I do it to you.
But that makes it more suspicious. I would rather just hear the plops.
Really?
And keep it in real time.
God. All right, you know what?
Yeah.
You're going to get your wish. You're going to get your wish.
Listen, this is to all the women. Go ahead and be free. Make your calls on the toilet because the guys aren't even assuming you're doing something that crazy.
That's true.
The best part. You listen, as a woman, you have carte blanche to be as crazy as you want to be. No one suspects that we do anything interesting or anything.
Well, this is for you
awful.
Just because you're just inspired a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
As I touch the top of her breast with my fingertips. Ugh. And then go down them to the nipples slowly.
Okay, I'm done.
Slightly and gently.
Ugh.
Then I tickle them until they become erect.
Ew. Tom, listen, since we're sexual right now, why are you so happy about that, you shithead? I hope you wear adult braces for the rest of your life. I hope they don't work and you have to get the metal ones. Don't laugh. I hate that you like this, that I hate this. I hate this. Why are you so happy, you shit? Stupid. I hate that you like this so much.
As I touch her nipples
Stop.
With my fingers.
I'm gonna puke. Ew.
and then go into a circular motion. I'm going to throw out.
I'd rather watch vomiting.
My fingertips slowly, slightly, and gently.
Ew! Ugh, this guy's so... And he has to show me his finger. That's the worst part of it. He's so disgusting. He's never been with a woman voluntarily. This is disgusting.
Okay, I thought you might like it.
Wait, are you going to show me another one?
No, that's it.
Well, then hold on. Since we're on the topic of horny, cool things, another email came in.
Okay.
Hi, mommies. Please keep this anonymous, but you're welcome to read on the show. I heard you put a call out for booger eaters, and I wanted to reach out. I'm a 29-year-old married father of two, and I've been munching on those nuggets since I was a wee tot. Tommy is right that it started as a childhood thing, and I was just never able to kick the habit. I tried many, many times, but it's just stuck with me. I've been able to be more discreet about it. Now, it typically happens when I'm not even thinking about it. It's subconscious. I just like scratching my head or adjusting my chair. I'm a high school teacher, so occasionally I'll be plucking a real gooey goober while I'm working at my desk. And my students are working, and one of them will catch it from the corner of their eye, and we'll share the quiet look of horror together. It's a real bonding experience. I'd love to kick the habit, but I'm not sure where to start. Coming up in May. That's just, you like the horny vids? I like the booger stuff.
Okay. Well,
I wish we could have people send in videos of them eating their boogers.
You sure about that?
Real scraggly ones. And put attention, Tom.
As a fat person, yes. I often dread medical appointments because of blatant medical fat phobia.
Yeah.
The last OB appointment I went to, the provider blamed everything on my weight and told me that I needed to go on a medication. What? That made me feel really terrible. This OB appointment that I just went to, I've been dreading, and the provider was amazing. She asked me what my pronouns are.
Oh, good.
She asked me about my name. She made me feel super comfortable, asked me about my trauma history so that she knew how to touch me in ways that were not harmful. She just was, like, great. And I was crying before getting my blood drawn because I just never have good experiences with medical providers. And so, I don't know, I just wanted to share.
Babe, could you imagine the fat phobia?
In the medical community?
Yeah, you go to the doctor and they're like, you're too fat. God, that's so mean.
That's so crazy. Medical providers have this crazy fat phobia thing going.
I know.
Ugh. Here's the thing. Your blood work's terrible, and I'm going to really fucking blow your mind here. It's because you're fat. Yeah. I know. It's so hateful of me to say. These people are insane.
Could you imagine?
Look, all your issues, I'm sure, are related to the fact.
5,000
pounds. Yeah, you need to lose weight.
By the way, I think I would be so annoyed if I went to my OB and she's like, what are your pronouns?
And what's your trauma history like?
I'd be like, bitch, put that in there and let's get out.
Let's get out of here.
Could you imagine? I get annoyed even now when they want to make chit chat with me. I'm like, just go with it.
Yeah.
I went to a dentist and she was very loving and sweet.
Yeah.
And she was like, is this okay? I'm like, just go.
Go.
I'm from the 80s. I don't care.
Yeah. Shove it in there.
Shove it in. Let's go.
Lube
I took a Xanax.
And let's go.
Yeah. I don't want you to talk to me.
Yeah.
Fuck right
What's
off.
What's your name? She asked me about my name. What the fuck? What do the other ones do? They don't ask your name?
I think she asked me my trauma. Could you imagine asking your trauma history?
Yeah.
Boy, that appointment would take me 5 hours to tell her my childhood story. Fuck you.
That's in a car. In a car. The guy's puking in the car. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Hey, you did that because it's a booger email.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
Why did you do that? I don't like it.
I don't like those booger emails.
booger videos that are now going to be submitted.
Oh, you're going to have a whole new problem on your hand.
Go ahead, make them into TikToks, maybe. Send them in. Make them into TikToks. Just of you pulling a scrounger and then eating it. Hey, Tom. Hold on. I don't want to get off the topic of pronouns because I know you and I are very conscientious about this stuff.
Yeah.
Zolo, I sent you a picture I don't know if you know this. I'm so excited now. Whenever you add a new contact to your iPhone, you can also add their pronouns.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Rob Eiler was so considerate. He added my, I have a new phone number, and then he made sure to check with me if I had new pronouns before he added my info. And I just thought that was really special.
It comes in most emails, a lot of emails from companies. Like if you're dealing with somebody at a professional level at a big company, it'll be in their signature.
I love that. I love to know what their gender is. But you know what we should start doing is also what turns you on? What gives you an erection?
Oh, have that in there.
Yeah. I want to know more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a good point.
What turns you on? What are
pee-pee
your sexual
pee-pee in a cup for me.
Proclivities. Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Tell me more of your personal details.
Yeah, I'd like
that. That'd be really nice.
If it was like, my name is Jim. Here's my phone number. Here's my email. Him. Armpit hair turns me on.
Wait, Zolo, go back to that. Can you, are there like many, because you know how on Instagram they only give you certain options? Like are they like ready-made options or can you write yours in? Do you know what I'm saying?
Let me look.
Because on Instagram, they have the ready-made ones like ers. Mine are, in case you want to know, on Instagram, mine are like ers, pers, cause, like the most obscure ones.
Yeah.
But.
You like that, huh?
Yes,
that really makes you happy.
That is so fun.
Well, this is a kind of a...
What are your pronouns?
Yes, you can add anything you want.
Oh, that's awesome. It's really thoughtful. That's kind of on par with what Apple would do, too. It's a very progressive tech company from California.
It is, Tom. It is.
1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you this year with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching. I got to tell you, the thing that I love about Babbel is the fact that you have to spell things out. When you're doing the spelling, I think you really retain how a word is obviously written, how you're supposed to say it. It goes into a part of your brain that you otherwise will not retain unless you actually write these words out. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/YMH. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/YMH. That's spelled BABBEL.com/YMH. Rules and restrictions may apply. A lot of life is unpredictable. But a good life insurance plan gives your family a financial safety net to protect against some of the unknowns. Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. It makes choosing the right policy for your family easy and quick. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options are 100% online and let you avoid unnecessary medical exams. This has been drilled into my head for as long as I can remember that you have to have all types of insurance, but especially life insurance if you have a family and if you have anybody that counts on you. The nice thing about Policy Genius is that it helps you easily compare your options from America's top insurers in just a few clicks. Their award-winning agents can even walk you through the process step by step. Your work-life insurance policy may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. You can get peace of mind by finding the right life insurance with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com/YMH or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com/YMH. Here's another thing.
This is very cool.
I think this is really about etiquette. And here's some mermaid etiquette you might not know about.
You're so lucky to have a silicone tail. Hey, listen, I know that it might not be your intention, but that comment's a bit dismissive.
Oh.
I worked really hard to save up money for this tail and train for it. It wasn't just luck. Oh, I didn't think of it that way. I was giddy when I saw pictures of your tail. You know what? I'll delete my comment on your Instagram post in a couple of minutes. No hard feelings. Not every conversation in the mermaid community needs to end in a fight. Please respect people's boundaries and feelings.
That's a really good point. Because some people are commenting on Instagram to mermaids who have, you know, acquired a tail like this.
A silicone tail.
And you don't mean to say something like, oh, how lucky. Because, you know, it is a bit dismissive to how hard the person may have worked to acquire that tail. So just think about that when you're leaving comments for mermaids.
Gosh, there's so much to consider now.
There's so much to consider
now. We don't think about this stuff. Yeah. But can I tell you, I'm so happy that we finally are having these discussions.
Yeah.
These marginalized communities, the mermaid community. Mm-hmm. They've been left out of the dialogue, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't being a mermaid considered a pronoun? Could I make that one of my cool pronouns?
You could make it a pronoun, but I don't think it's a pronoun to be like mermaid.
Mermaid, merman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really curious now to know what the etiquette in the mermaid community is, because she's implying that there's a lot of rude comments within the mermaid community.
Yeah, you know where there are also some rude comments? There was this piggy party, a fat girl party, and they highlighted some of the big comments here. Look at these. They all got together to just eat everything. A poor black man's dream. Nobody in this room will be alive in 10 years. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Some big broads in that room. Shit.
Some guy's holding up the ceiling.
Yeah.
Oh, so funny.
Yeah. Not a lot left on that plate right there on the front, huh?
No.
Yeah.
But, Tom, this is the type of fat phobia that woman was talking about earlier.
I know. Imagine if they all went to the doctor. The doctor would be like, I got to tell you something. It's not looking good for anybody. And they'd be like, oh, let me guess. It's because I weigh 400 pounds?
Well, also, it's because the BMI scale is patriarchal and hateful. Yeah. Everybody knows
it
that.
It didn't consider other ethnicities.
It didn't consider...
body types.
That's right. It's based on a white, heterogeneous, homogeneous view of the female body. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that, Tom.
Yeah. It's normal to have a 50 BMI. Everybody knows that.
50,000. That is true. Well, hold on. Well, let's see what they are eating. I'm seeing some enchiladas, some other starchy carbs.
Yeah.
That's no good, man.
Yeah. I saw this clip where these big old chicks,
phobia,
big broads, were sitting on a talk show, and the guy goes, well, I think you just need to eat less and move more. And they all went, oh, here we go. Like it was like it was crazy to say. And he was like, what? And they're like, it's not what it's about. He's like, you're just fucking eating too much and you're not moving. And they went, they were so upset by it.
You know, this is a horrible thing my father used to say all the time.
Which thing?
All the things I heard growing up. Uh-huh. But the problem with a lot of things my crazy parents said is that they were inherently true. Much like Noel Gallagher. You're like, the world is full of and it's the internet's fault.
Yeah.
My father would say, whenever they would say that stuff, like, eat less, move more. And then the people go, no, it's glandular. He's like, there were no fat people in Auschwitz.
Mm.
There were no fat people.
Right. They were starved.
In Auschwitz.
Yeah.
Think about that. There's no glandular disorders. There's no, you know, hypo, whatever, thalamus problems. Mm-hmm. You're not big boned. You're just eating too much.
Yeah. I'm surprised Auschwitz hasn't come out with a statement about that. Yeah.
Against my dad.
Just being like, hey, the one thing we could also tell you is that there was definitely no fat people here. For all you wondering if it's your glands, it's the food. There's no food in your life when you're here.
There's no fat people.
Yeah.
In Auschwitz.
If you don't eat, you won't be fat.
You won't be fat.
Oh, here we go. Back to the food again.
Speaking of, I am having to up my Ozempies. Because I'm eating right through it again.
Again.
So remember how I told you I overdosed myself on 50?
Yeah.
Well, now I'm like having to go to 25 or 30 just to keep it. Because I'm eating right through it. I mean, I'm eating like, I got fucking those powdered donuts.
Yeah. Why do you have those?
They don't even call them donuts because they're so fucking fake.
I saw those. I'm like, what the fuck?
They're so good because they're just, I'm on this like wanting to eat all the shit I grew up on, like trash.
But why don't you get the fresh, like good ones?
I don't like the good. This is the problem. I don't like the good fresh ones.
Your palate is fucked.
Because I grew up eating garbage. Yeah. I like Entenmann's, Hostess. Ugh. I like the fake ass chocolate. Little donuts. I like white trash food, and I'm just now making peace with that.
Yeah, why don't you go to this party?
That's what I like.
Plenty of that shit.
I know. That's the problem, though, is they're not on the Ozempies.
No, they're definitely not.
You can eat one or two of the little donuts, not the whole bag.
So we're up in the dose.
So I gotta up my own dose. So I'm almost gonna be up to 50 naturally.
Wow.
So if I'm not losing right now.
All right.
And I discovered P.T. Terry's.
Yeah.
That's a real problem. That shit's good. Yeah. That's why they don't like In-N-Out here, because I think it's their In-N-Out. It's like better, huh?
I still think In-N-Out's better.
I know. Nah, California In-N-Out, but not Texas In-N-Out. It's too different here. It doesn't taste the same, right?
I still think.
Yeah. In-N-Out over P.T. Terry's.
It's better than that bullshit Whataburger.
Fuck Whataburger.
Oh, Whataburger sucks. It's not even a fucking burger. It's terrible. Yeah. It's like paper.
Yeah.
It just tastes like mayonnaise to me. Yeah, that shit sucks, dude.
All right, let's take a quick break.
Okay.
We'll be back to talking about farts and dicks after this quick break.
And we're back, and you can check out the new album from our guest called Ohio Players, baby. And please welcome the Black Keys, everybody. Hey. You guys are from Ohio. I'm from Ohio.
Yeah. What part?
I'm from Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're from the Browns area.
Yeah.
Of Ohio.
You're from Akron?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where LeBron's from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We used to, when we first started the band, I lived in this house with like four other dudes, like a punk rock house kind of in the hood. And this was like 2001, 2002. I lived there. But yeah, we would see LeBron. I think Nike like hired his mom like to like kind of get him some money.
Yeah.
Because he was driving to school in this like brand new yellow Hummer.
Hummer, yeah, I remember that story.
Holy
and
shit.
I would get behind him sometimes, be like, this guy.
This is a kid in high school's got a Hummer? This is wild. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Worked out for him. He's doing all right.
He's doing all right.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, I like meeting Ohio people. I think it's always exciting to meet somebody that branched out and did something.
I know, we're very proud of our own.
Yeah, Ohio. Yeah. Ohio for sure. Yeah.
Oh, the Deal sisters are from there. The Deal Kim and Kelly Deal. Do you know them?
Yeah. I mean, I've spent more time with Kim.
Yeah. Tell me about her. I met her one time in Silver Lake.
Yeah.
And I don't fangirl out ever. I was carrying a Pixies bag that I had made for me. That's how much of a fan. And Tom's like, you got to talk to her. I'm like, I'm a fucking asshole. And she was the nicest and totally normal. And she's like, yeah, just give me your email. I'll email you. We're doing a show. And I was like,
yeah, she was freaking out.
She's so great.
If you're freaking out, I was like, she's like, should I say something? Yeah, you should fucking say something. You've never been like this.
We took a picture.
Yeah. We rented part of an old rubber factory where we kind of had it as a studio for a while in 2004.
The General Tire Factory.
Yeah.
Nice.
Kim and Kelly drove from Dayton to Akron. They wanted to make some demos there. So I spent an afternoon with them once. They were just so cool. But yeah, they were like heavily addicted to Starbucks at the time.
Yeah.
I think we went there like two times. They kept getting these giant frappuccinos.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were just the coolest.
Yeah. They're sisters. They're almost identical twins. Yeah. You two are not related.
We're not.
But you may as well be because you've been together for so long.
We've been doing this for.
No, well, he's a gay couple. You guys are a gay.
We are
duo. A gay
couple. We've known each other since 1989.
Damn.
What?
Yeah.
How'd you guys meet?
Gay dating. We were 10.
You're like,
it is at a NAMBLA conference.
Perfect.
That's cool.
Our dads took us to NAMBLA. We met because my dad bought a house around the corner from where Dan lived.
Nuh-uh.
Just a total old-fashioned neighborhood. Like there's one way to get one street got in this giant neighborhood.
And were you both already jamming? Like, you know, hey, I play instruments, so do you kind of
this
thing?
This is when we were like nine. So
we're playing, we're having like acorn fights.
Oh,
we were, like,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like the movie like Stand By Me, it was like, when I saw that, it was just like, that's essentially felt like how our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Felt. We had the train tracks and under the bridge. And
hell yeah.
Dead bodies and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
Memorial Parkway, where that guy died.
Nice.
There was like a little, I guess they called it the workhouse, is where they put people who like got too many DUIs on the other side of this valley that we could see. And, you know, there's always like, you hear about like the butcher escaped from the workhouse being in the woods, just worried about it, making shit up, I guess.
And then when did you start? Did you guys start playing in high school?
We both started playing music on our own independently. Like, and then our younger brothers were in the same grade.
And yeah, we were in separate grades. We were 1 year apart. So it was like, you know, when you get into school, it's like when you're in different grades, it's you might as well be in different universes.
Yeah, yes. For sure.
Sometimes. So we didn't really know each other too well. I just knew him from the neighborhood. I knew Pat. I knew his brother Will and his brother Michael. We'd take the bus and he would go that way and I'd go this way, you know. Mm. But then our brothers one day said, hey, you know, Pat plays drums. And told Pat that I play guitar. You guys should get together. So it was like we... Yeah, we never knew.
Yeah, he came down to my house. But, you know, I was hanging out with his brother all the time. But, yeah, I never hung out with Dan. Okay. He came down with his guitar and just was like, you know, started ripping, like, these, you know, really cool guitar parts. He's like, yeah, I'm into this, like, blues from northern Mississippi. Like, this, I was like, and I just happened to be, like, into one of the same guys through a whole different channel. Like, and it was weird because he was the only other person I knew that was
into that kind of thing.
And we were a block away from each other.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't it kind of crazy too that you've seen each other evolve as musicians? Like you basically met each other when you were pretty new and you've seen each other like kind of.
Well, I mean, I showed Dan how to record like on a 4-track tape recorder.
Wow.
He had never seen one. So yeah, we've seen it. We've from the very beginning, you know, we've learned how to do it all together. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had no idea what we were doing.
And we did, you know,
which is all the part of the fun of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like being just idiots in the studio. We'd like
not knowing
tape
shit.
A microphone to our chin. And try to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know, the way that the whole band kind of came about really was we were jamming occasionally. We would get together, you know, like 1997, 98 and whatever, when we were just kind of finishing high school. And then we both found ourselves going to the University of Akron, like both like third year freshmen. I just kept taking ceramics classes and like it was, we were both like probably
make some more ashtrays.
We were like at all, you know, our lowest
point. The only thing I remember about the University of Akron was the guy who sold Euros like right in the middle.
Yeah.
They were pretty good.
Yeah.
It was essentially high school part two. That's what that is.
Yeah.
And,
it was so pitiful.
Yeah, I mean, back when we were going there, you could still smoke in, like, the student union.
Oh,
so
that's fun.
We'd just sit there and smoke.
That's the best.
Yeah, my school used to have a bar, like, on campus.
Yeah, there's a bar there.
Yeah, now they took it out, and you can't smoke anywhere. It's so
nothing's
lame.
Fun anymore.
Nothing's fun anymore.
Yeah, at the time, my girlfriend went to a school called Oberlin. And
yeah, I remember Oberlin.
Like, I would go there because they'd always have, like, cool concerts and, like, you know, everyone just make fun of me and call me a townie. Mm-hmm. But like, I could go there and pretend to be a student. I could get beers for 25 cents on Monday.
Yeah,
it was kind of amazing.
Dude, how would you pretend to be a student at Oberlin?
I mean, I just looked like a student.
When I did a semester abroad in Spain, in Madrid, you smoke in the classroom. So the professor would smoke and kids would be smoking. Fucking crazy. Like, those were the days.
Well, actually, I remember when my mom went to the University of Akron when I was a kid, and I definitely remember you could smoke in the classroom there.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
In the mid-80s. But yeah, anyway, we found ourselves, you know, kind of living in Akron at 21. And I hadn't seen Dan in like a year, and I ran into him.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this bar band that was playing like 4 or 5 nights a week around Northeast Ohio. And that's how he was supporting himself.
Yeah, we would just do like, you know, 3-hour sets. I would just play anywhere.
What would you play?
Just covers, mostly old songs.
Yeah.
Old country songs, blues songs. Sometimes I'd play solo. If they just wanted a duo, I'd bring, you know, whatever they needed.
It's still so crazy to hear that worked out for someone. You know what I mean? Like when you hear like someone's playing covers at a bar and that like you evolve into super successful
musician. To his credit, he called me and was like, well, I ran into each other. We ran into each other, and he told me what he was up to, and I was like, oh, yeah, I just got this, like, this new kind of recorder I just had like got a credit card and kind of went into debt because I was so miserable. I was like, maybe I can record bands. I bought this thing for $1,000 and I told him about it. He's like, well, you should record my band. And I was like, yeah, well, you guys should come over to my house, the one in the hood by LeBron's school. And I set up at the time, and this is like right before September 11th. Mm-hmm. This is like September 8th or something. And anyway, we sat on my front porch waiting for the other two guys that were playing with him. And they were only interested in playing with him if there was money involved. So they didn't come.
They didn't show up.
They didn't show up. And like,
they didn't understand.
So was this this is what led to the two of you?
So we just recorded that.
Really?
Day.
So Dan's like, you should just play the drums.
And the recordings that we made that day, we got a record deal from.
No.
We sent him.
Wild.
That's crazy.
Dan's like, we should form a band. I mixed him down and gave him to him like September 13th or something.
These sound fucking cool. You know, we should send these to some labels or something.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you do?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's the thing is you don't even know, right?
So we didn't know. We were two idiots in Akron.
We picked a couple of labels that had some of the blues stuff that I really liked, but maybe also some rock and roll things. And the label that we sent to, you know, had like Dr. Ross, the Harmonica Boss records, and Stooges records.
Oh,
and we were
cool.
Like, they seem really cool.
And this is like, you put something in like a FedEx package?
Yeah. CDR.
Media mailer.
With a handwritten letter.
Uh-huh.
Basically saying, we're ready to work.
Yeah.
Help us out.
We sent them to Dan sent them out to like maybe 15 labels. And we heard back from like maybe three.
Wow.
One of them is in Austin, Chicken Ranch. Mm. And I'm still buddies with the guy that runs it.
Really?
Like, yeah. So he was like, well, I'll put your record out. And then this label, Esterus, like a punk label out of Bellingham, Washington, said like, if you come to Bellingham and play a show, we'll talk to you. And like that, you know, that's out of the question because it's like 3,000-mile drive. And then this label in Burbank said, if you send me 12 songs, you know, I'll put it out. And then they sent a contract that was like that long, that just the most bulletproof thing that we've ever signed. Yeah.
We're still trying to get around it.
Yeah,
impenetrable.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's how it started. And then, you know, we made this record in my basement. And then sent it off to the label. And then the guy sent us back 50 LPs and 200 CDs. And we're like, okay, what do we do now?
Yeah.
And he's like, the guy, Patrick, who ran the label Alive, was like, you need to go on tour. And we're like, okay, what does that mean? He's like, well, I know this guy, and he's going to book you a tour. He's just going to have to get in a van and go. So we got this email like a couple weeks later. It was like, here are your dates. I still have this print. Like,
I want to get that framed.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. But it's basically like, here's 3 weeks of shows. And, you know, it was just the name, the address, the phone number, and then the deal points, which is like two beers, $50.
Yeah. Right.
$50 guarantee.
Yes.
10% off the food.
If you exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. A sandwich, but no fries.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We did clubs like that where they were like, I did a club one time where he was like, yeah, you get 20% off, like if you order an entree. Exactly.
But not
like,
the steak or the lobster or anything good.
Yeah, essentially good that here. Shit. And so when, you know, this was summer 2002, my brother tags along, my younger brother, Michael, and we get in my minivan and we just go. Neither one of us had a credit card.
Oh my God.
We were just really freeballing out there.
Starting a life of road beef.
That's road beef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start banging chicks in vans. Yep. That's what's up, dude. Road beef.
Now, I always felt bad for comics musicians. Cause like Tom and I, we've been doing the road too for like 15, 20 years, you know, as comics. And like you go do those awful morning radio things at like 5 a.m. And I would always see like the bands just unloading, like on their, like they'd stumble out of a van hungover, filthy, and just like dazed, because they're like, we were just in another city last night, you know, and they're like, can we shower here?
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, that's even worse than a comedian, because at least in the beginning of a comedy career, you're posted up in one city for like 4 or 5 nights doing six shows.
Yeah, so you guys
get to stay in a shitty hotel, and you're not eating great, you're not living great, but at least you're in one place.
Oh yeah.
bands, it seems so much more brutal because you're in a different city every night and you're not sleeping, you're not eating, you're not showering.
It's savage.
For the first decade.
It's savage the first few years.
We couldn't afford to stay in the city we were playing if it was like a cool city.
God.
If we were like playing New York City, like maybe in New York we would go and get a room at the Howard Johnson's on Houston. But yeah, like we'd be in LA, play the show, and we'd have
somehow always be the basement room.
Yeah. We get the fuck out of there. We had this whole, I would just take like the Yellow Jackets and just the trucker pills and just drive until I couldn't anymore.
I would always just fall asleep to the sound of Art Bell and the highway.
Yeah.
He would just have Art Bell on and just
act out driving.
Trucker's feet.
Dude, if I had done like 6 more months of that, dude, I would have just been completely insane.
Yeah.
I bet. Yeah. Do you feel like it's kind of like, I know it's all you know now, and there's a few other people that have done this, but like, isn't it kind of a flex to feel like it's the two of you when like bands are always, you know, 4, 5, 6 and more? Like the fact that you can do what you do with two, it's like, I think it's super impressive.
Well, you know, when we first started the band, like that day where we made the demo, our neighborhood friend was hanging out with me. He's going to help this guy, Gabe. So initially the band was three of us. It was, and Gabe played the Moog synthesizer. He was playing like the bass on that. And that's what our demo kind of had. And then like, within a few months, he stopped coming to practice. And I was like, and you know, he didn't have a car. He was living with his parents. I was like, dude, like.
He was living with his parents, but his parents were a block away from him.
Oh, okay. Come on now.
I was like, dude, like, you got to come to practice.
Come on.
He's like, dude, like, I have a astronomy test. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, you've got an F in astronomy.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be an astronomer, dude? Yeah.
No.
No, come on. And then eventually, like, Dan and I, like, if we keep him in the band, like, it's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay. So we got rid of him. And then.
Which was very easy to do.
Very easy.
Well, yeah, you got another astronomy test. You got to go.
Yeah. We parted ways. And then we tried to get a third person in, and we both realized that we were so serious about doing this that like, and we understood each other, I think, enough that if we let a third person in, it could just be a complete fucking disaster.
Sure. Yeah. But we were also in Akron. There was like no music scene. To play a show, we had to drive to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we couldn't find anybody.
You know, Gabe tells this story so much, right? Like all the time.
Who does?
Oh, okay.
I'm still boys with Gabe. Talk to him like a couple times a year.
Do you know how many bars this has come up in?
For oh my God. Beer? This is a story.
You come on and he's like, you know.
No, I mean, the older we get, the more grateful I am that it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being in a big group of people trying to get stuff accomplished.
When you see the 5, 6 piece bands, you're like, shit, or more?
Yeah.
But you know, for a long time it was very insular with us because we would go play these shows. We wouldn't have the money to like hang around the club. We weren't really able to socialize with like the other bands there. Actually that's something that's happened in the last couple of years where we've actually been like way more out there, hanging out with other musicians, bringing them around.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really good, like for
fun
us.
Fun too, yeah. Right?
And also we don't have to be in a band with them. We can just like hang out.
Yeah,
with them.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Because it does seem like over time, you know, you guys in a bigger group, there's fights about money and who's like the front guy, like who's popular, who's not, I guess. That's what you hear. It's got to be so hard, but it's just the two of you, so that's good.
Well, I feel like every band always kind of...
Like the Gallagher brothers, which I know you're friends with, might.
I feel like every band, even if it's 4 people, it always kind of reverts down to like 2 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really about
right
that. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, a couple of weeks ago we were in town and we went to the mothership and being in that green room and watching all the comics hang out. I was like, this is something that never happens.
Right.
With musicians. Mm. And that it would be way cool if it did, you know,
the group hang.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
It's so important.
Cause you guys are more isolated and the musicians I've known are more introverted. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we just sit around and abuse each other in a room. It's so much more.
Well,
fun.
We sit around and just make fun of the other band that's next door.
Oh, of course. Comedians, too. We're united in the people we hate.
Yeah.
That's how you're friends with a comic. Yeah. It's like, who sucks? Yeah, that guy fucking
united
sucks.
United in hate. Yeah, that's really what
for
it
sure,
is.
Yeah.
There's so much shit talking.
So oh, yeah. much shit
yeah.
talking.
Elite level shit talking. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. We haven't heard it too much when we go, like, you know, we hang around comedians.
No?
I'm always surprised, honestly.
That they're not doing that.
Yeah, I feel like maybe the new generation doesn't do it as much or something. I don't know.
No, they do. They do. Yeah.
They hate. Everybody hates
everyone's. Everybody. Yeah, they all hate. Everyone's haters, dude. Yeah.
Hate so hard. You know what's so funny? Was it, we were talking about that, that comedians, well, stand-ups anyway, are just mean. Like, yeah. We have the ability.
The difference between, like, an actor, a pure yeah. actor, right? And a comedian is that the comedian has a mean streak.
Yeah.
That the act, like the actor's more genuine, like sincere.
Yeah,
right?
And then,
and we were talking to a comedian friend of ours who's also an actor. He was saying he's on this movie set, and he's like, you know, we were like, how's this person there? He's like, well, you know, he's really nice, but it's like, you know, I was like, look at this fucking guy. And then he's the guy was like, what? He's like, you can't like joke around with a lot of them because they're all just such in like that headspace of like, why would you say that? He's like, oh, yeah. Never mind. Like he couldn't joke around.
But there are bands you guys hate and you guys talk shit, right?
For sure.
For sure.
I'm we definitely used to talk a lot of shit back in the day. But, yeah. like, you know.
We couldn't do an interview without Pat talking shit about somebody.
Yeah.
I love
getting
that.
Us in trouble.
That's so
I'd
cool.
always get us
That's
in trouble.
That's so much fun.
So much fun.
Let's do it right now.
Yeah. Who do we hate right now?
Who sucks?
Fucking.
Now, I mean, you know what? Now
Lady
it's like.
Lady Gaga. She sucks, right?
Yeah.
She's the worst, dude.
You know, I had a couple. I used to use Twitter a lot. I'm scared of it.
Oh, you would use Twitter to talk shit?
I had one really good tweet once.
Here we go.
Yeah.
It was Let just it, was a, it just was a it just was a moves like Jagger, period. Sounds like shit. That's the kind of stuff I was into, but now I don't do that anymore.
But you see that right there, like that's anyone who's an expert in a field, you can critique things through a different lens. It's like sometimes comedy will be celebrated or popular and then comedians shit all over it because they see kind of the holes in it. They see the tricks, you know, the dance moves, we call them, of like making that work. But like there's like a very catchy, let's say, pop song that like musically you're like, this is garbage.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't grasp that, right? They're just like, oh, this is great. Like, this
well,
is really-
I mean, a lot of the stuff that we like is probably very hard to listen to for most
really
person.
Me
really?
Too yeah. I like awful things nobody likes. Yeah. Do you guys like, well, I don't think they're awful, but do you guys like Bauhaus? I'm sure your major influence is Bauhaus.
I like certain bands from that scene, but like I like Jesus and Mary Chain.
Love Jesus and Mary Chain.
But I don't listen to Bauhaus much.
My favorite is that.
I actually don't know one man that listens to Bauhaus. I know a lot of women that listen to Bauhaus.
Yeah.
Our agent is he's very musically inclined, is really good on piano, and he has a really good ear for music. He also has a lot of, he's one of these like music history guys. Yeah. You know, like you're having dinner and a song comes on and he tells you all about the recording session and like he knows all these music stories. And we're at a dinner and we're just going through. It's like, oh, this thing about, you know, Diana Ross. And then Michael Jackson comes on. He's telling us Motown stories. And then all of a sudden he's like, I got to tell you, man, your wife, I don't know what that shit is that she listens to, man. Like, he knows all. He's like, her music, man, I don't know what the fuck that shit is.
That's okay. They only invented a whole genre.
This is
a whole
shit, yeah.
gothic genre. Shout out to Bauhaus.
Okay.
Whatever. Yeah. I also drum too. It's no big deal.
Oh, yeah. Not so hot. Now, Aria. She's a fucking drummer
if
too.
If Bauhaus
right?
needs a drummer, Kevin Haskins, you're getting old. I'm here.
Okay.
I drum terribly, but.
How long have you been drumming?
It's like a couple months now.
Couple
3 months.
Wow.
3 months. Yeah. I got a kit in my playroom.
No shit.
Big deal.
Well, can I ask you this? Would you mind?
I think I didn't know how to play drums when we made our first record.
Really?
Really. I honestly didn't even realize
what the drums were supposed to do until I was about 28.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a good really? Point.
I swear to God. I didn't realize you were supposed to, like, keep time. I thought right. I was just, like, play along with the guitar.
Just fucking beat the shit out of them.
I was like, it's supposed to be steady. It's supposed to be steady.
Steady.
Yeah. Right.
Because like, the music I'm listening to is not necessarily, like, rap steady.
Yeah.
Maybe, but, like, a lot of the stuff I said didn't feel steady. Right. But I guess it was.
So, did you have like an epiphany moment where you're like, holy shit, you're supposed to keep time on these?
Yeah. I mean, when I'm on stage, I always have to have him in my eyesight, in my peripheral, to follow him because he'll, you know, he moves. His time, the time moves. You know?
Hey.
Can but I? That's just part of the sound, though.
Can I get your take on? Would you mind throwing on those cans for a second so I can? Well, just like you're a musician, so it's like, let's take advantage of this. So here's a newer guy. Maybe give him a shot.
We were high school sweethearts, and you couldn't stay cause you had to move away, so we tried long distance.
This is actually the kind of stuff I like to listen to for, because it, not for musical enjoyment, but it's insane.
Is this one of your weird bands you
like? No, but this is like true outsider.
Yeah. Is this Bauhaus?
How dare you?
The kind of the interesting choice is that he, songwriting wise, is just actually laying out the whole story. Like he said, you know, you said to me that you found another guy.
It's like R. Kelly.
We were high school.
You know, so he's just, we were high school sweethearts.
Sweethearts, and you couldn't stay because you had to move away. So we tried long distance.
Right.
But one day. You texted me. Didn't mean to say that you wanna break up. I asked why, and you said to me that you found another.
I mean, it's just a story.
Honestly, you know how like they say like humans and chimpanzees are like 97%.
Yeah,
this is like 97% Noah Kahan or whatever that like big huge hit song is, like Stick Season. This is like almost there.
Almost there. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a huge hit, and that guy's selling out arenas.
Would you tell this guy, if you had to get, would you just be like, keep doing what you're doing?
I mean,
I'd say just that river behind him, jump in.
I'd say drop, so
jump. I remember back when it seemed like the other day, you and I in the car laughing, windows down with the music blasting, wearing sunglasses, watching as time passes.
Hey, that rhymed.
Yeah, that wasn't, it was okay, right?
I mean, you know, it's a different style.
Well,
just different talents.
Relaxed fit.
Yeah.
I want to see the stand-up version of this. I want to see people just bombing.
You got it. Come to Mothership on a Sunday night. It's called open mic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's regular shows you can watch, too.
I know. There's a lot of it.
You want to see a bomb, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I've never seen the comedy version of that.
It's a more a stand-up bomb is more horrific than a music bomb, for sure, even live. Because even the fact that you could play an instrument, some other sound being there can kind of mask how poorly it's going. In stand-up, when you're just like, and so then it's
you
just,
can physically feel it.
The sweat.
Oh, you physically
the whole room, you can feel it.
The anxiety,
it's kind of suffocating.
Yeah, the sweat, the flop sweat just starts.
We watched. Yeah, I watched somebody flop last night, and it was just.
Oh, really?
Great.
Yeah.
Doing what? Stand up or?
Yes, I went to the Kill Tony show last night. And,
one of the new.
And then it was a hat pull and. It was brutal, and Tony just eviscerated the guy.
Yeah, of course.
Which made it fun.
Imagine that for like 20, 30 minutes, though.
Because
that's a real bomb when you're up there, and there is no ding, 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 your minute is over.
20, 30 minutes.
And you're getting paid, and you're the opener, and you eat shit, but then the headliner kills after you, and then you hear everybody talking about how awful you were on the way out and shit.
It's brutal. It's brutal.
Dude.
I had a bomb so bad one time that like... I ate shit, and it was a sold out room, so it was like 300 people in there, and I was just pouring sweat, and I had hair, so it was like kind of stuck to like here, and I got off a few minutes early, and then I walked, and I mean, I was, you know, like a deer in headlights, and I walk around the corner, and the manager, she goes, "What the fuck?" And I go, "What?" She goes, "I thought you were supposed to be funny. What was that?" And I was like, I couldn't even say anything. I was like, I don't know. And the worst was that there was a second show, because, you know, we do like two shows a night in clubs, and I bombed as hard on the second show. She was like, "You're the worst."
So when you say you bombed, was it because did you
Did you think you were being funny and the crowd just didn't get it?
I mean, if you specifically this incident I remember so well,
yeah,
is that I was too new to open with I was opening with like what I thought was a very, you know, witty, edgy joke. And it just wasn't well written enough, and it was too harsh. So it was like opening with like the hardest hitting thing,
yeah,
and the audience was like, huh? And then even though I would go back into material that I knew worked, it wouldn't work because they were just so right, thrown.
The momentum was,
yeah,
off.
It was just so off that, yeah. And I remember the next day, the only difference that I make, so I had to go back to that club the next day to do it again.
Oh my God.
Was my friend was like, just don't open on that. He's like, just don't open on that. And everything was great.
Fine, yeah.
It was totally fine. Yeah. But it was a real lesson in like, yeah, maybe you're not ready for that yet. Yeah.
I remember doing what's called tribble runs, where you drive 6 hours a day in the Pacific Northwest and then you perform in bars at night. I did a biker bar. And at the time I was like trying to be real smart because I studied philosophy, and it was like first 5 minutes of philosophy jokes for the bikers. It was so like, I bombed so hard, Tommy. Yeah. It was like 20. I did a 25 minute set in like 10 minutes and I was in the alleyway, you know, just crying. Yeah. And you're like, fuck, dude.
I bombed at the hospital one time.
Really?
What?
I went with a buddy. He had his upright bass and I had acoustic guitar, and friend had a fiddle, and we went and played for the people in the cancer ward.
You bombed?
And we were going room to room, you know? And there was just, we went into this guy was all just hooked up to all these wires, you know? He looked like the back of a stereo. It's just like wires everywhere. And we played him a song, and we're like, let's play this guy another one. Sir, you want us to play another one? He said, I'm good.
I mean, to be fair,
yeah,
if I was sick as fuck,
yeah,
and someone walked in with their acoustic guitar,
oh,
and I couldn't
my
do it,
God,
anything. That's almost like a, what's it called, a sleep paralysis.
Just, yeah, a little gentle lullaby for him.
Yeah. No, thanks.
I'd rather like, this
I'm
end
good
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm so picky about music too that I hate like 99% of, you know, easily 99% of anything. Like if you took everything on Spotify, I would hate 99%
sure
of it. Like imagine someone not knowing that and they're walking in and just like, I've selected a song for you. And I know you're sick as fuck. And
yeah.
Like, there's no
It'd
chance.
It'd be fun to watch you, yeah, watch that. That's what, yeah, I want to see now. You're filled with rage as a disease tears through your body. You're just like, leave the room.
Well, there was this thing.
He couldn't reach the button to get the nurse.
Okay. Committing suicide.
Like, I think he's really relaxed.
Please.
Right now.
I did this thing for Vice News right when they launched, where I was like their music critic for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And it was literally brand new, like Vice News. They didn't know, they didn't really know what this whole
thing was going to be.
Yeah, yeah, so it ended up with me just on headphones, just shit talking.
Everything.
Everything that, I liked a couple things, but
yeah. But is there anything you particularly enjoy right now that's come out in the last couple?
What's the weird
couple
music you like? I told you mine, you tell me yours now.
Well, but I'm saying something newer.
New?
Yeah.
Oh, my stepdaughter is really into 100 Gex. And I dig some of that. No, you know what? We've been doing these record hangs where we take, you know, kind of like playing old 45s. They throw in a dance party essentially, but only playing 45s. And that's kind of led us the last year into like a deep listening, like searching for these 45s, trying to find songs that we'd never heard before,
mm-hmm,
that are, that, you know, I guess the goal is to find something that should have been a hit that's not a hit.
Right.
And so,
yeah, that people hear and go crazy, but no one knows. Ungoogleable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's so many songs out there. It's crazy.
So many songs.
Every time you look, you find something.
I think Brian Simpson was the one at the Mothership that brought out the I'm Alive song.
Oh, my God.
That we, yeah, started playing so much. But I had never heard before. I'd never heard that song.
We hadn't heard it till last year. And our buddy Kelly Finnegan was like, you heard this Johnny Thunder song?
Yeah. How do we not? How do we?
How
have we not heard that?
How have we not heard that?
Yeah.
It's the greatest song.
It was such a great song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the kind of shit that we play at these record hangs. It's been really fun.
That's cool.
You know.
And it's cool because we'll invite like a friend to come do it with us and then just, you know, take photos of like half the records and go buy them.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Friendly competition. Right.
Friendly competition. But it is like you're sharing like the secret. Like, do you know this one?
Do you know this one? Yeah.
That's
a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you guys friends with the Insane Clown Posse?
Never met them.
Oh, well, they were in here and we love to ask musicians this question. There's only two of you in the band. Have you guys ever gone airtight?
I don't know what airtight means, but I'm imagining.
I mean, you guys are close. So how close have you been?
I mean, pretty close.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Nice.
I mean,
nice.
But on a chick, you guys have gone airtight ever?
You know, there's no air seeping out of her. You know what I mean? Wow.
I thought that was called a tower of power.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, actually, to be airtight, Gabe would have to join the band. But, yeah. Because there's three inputs. Yeah. But, yeah. Eiffel Tower her, I guess.
Yeah. Is that a yes? Because you guys are kind of weird about it. Oh, shit, it is.
Come on.
Oh, my God. It's a navy. Yeah, It wasn't a no.
They've been in the band forever. They're rock stars. What are you fucking with? Of course they have. They're like, which city? What are you talking about?
That's so awesome.
Yeah, which time?
Yeah, of course they've done that.
That's so exciting.
Well, transitioning out of the airtight story.
Oh, okay.
Do you, all right, I'll show you these clips. Will you just tell me your honest reaction to whether you think this is horrible or hilarious?
Really hard to watch that.
Guess what? She's okay.
She's okay.
She's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's yeah, that's horrible. I find that horrible.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, he's trying to. Oh shit! Oh my god! Oh! Hell no! Hey!
Hell no!
He just got his leg ran over.
You enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah,
that was a good time.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's drunk. God saves the drunks, right?
Oh, no.
Oh!
Jesus horrible.
Christ. That scream was really going to be great. It's too bad they cut it off.
It was just starting to develop there.
Yeah.
This is like,
that sucks.
Dan and I were just talking last night about like, what sick fuck, if you could meet the sick fucker that was making the Faces of Death compilation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the '80s, who's responsible for that? I want that documentary.
And I want to thank them because we love that shit in high school.
And how did all the 14 and 15 year olds get a hold of those?
Right?
So nuts.
Dude,
yeah.
The goth kids loved
Where
that.
Did you find that pre-internet, all those videos?
I know.
That's got to be a story.
And getting that tape around to
people.
Like,
awesome.
So crazy. Like for something that was on a tape, for so many eyeballs to have seen it. It's not like sending a video around today.
Well, they didn't sell it, right?
They'd have to understand distribution.
Right.
They'd have to be a sick... Maybe this could... We could be talking about the singer from Bauhaus. Maybe the one...
It's Peter Murphy. Yeah. He did Faces
Peter
of
Murphy
Death.
Peter Murphy might have done Faces of Death. Yeah. But yeah, where are they finding the fucking video?
Right? And back in the day, you had to like edit it, sit down.
We're working on that documentary.
I've never found a snuff film.
What do you have? Is that a J? Do you want to light it?
Yeah, can I?
Of
yeah,
course. This is your mom's house. We're not nerds.
Do you have something
squares.
To put it in?
No.
Yeah.
Help yourself.
I'm such a fucking nerd.
Not at all.
I made a record with Hank Jr. And he lit a cigar up in my studio. And I said, wow, no one's ever smoked a cigar in my studio. You know?
Yeah.
He said, icons don't ask.
Yeah, agreed.
That's pretty rad.
Dave Chappelle doesn't ask to smoke cigarettes in the
Gucci,
club either.
Gucci shades.
Of course.
Chappelle's like
doesn't give
so fire. Well known for this.
Yeah.
They'll be like, you can't smoke in here. And he's just like, huh? And I was at something with him and I was like, hey, can I get one of those? I lit it up and the guy behind the bar was like, hey, you can't smoke in here. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I just turned to Dave and I was like, I'm going to put this out when you put it out. And he's like, I'll put it out when I'm done. And I go, okay, that's when I'll do it. Mm-hmm. So it was great.
Wow.
So fun.
Yeah.
They gave you strength, huh?
Yeah, it totally did. I was like, you're doing it, so I'm doing it.
Well,
yeah.
You can, in a lot of places, you can smoke on stage.
Oh, that's nice.
Because it's like a prop.
That's right. That's
if you like had been by yourself, they would have arrested you.
100%. You know, like, get the fuck out of here. I was like, he's doing it.
He would have been tased.
Yeah.
How's Noel Gallagher? You guys work
He's with awesome.
Him? Yeah.
Funny I love his funny
he's
as fuck.
So funny.
Both those guys are
He's
funny.
Not only yeah. funny, he's cool shit. Like, we just went to London, and I sent him a text. It was like,
you know, we're going to be playing in London. If you have any interest in doing a song with us, we were doing three nights at the same place. He's like, sure, I'll come out. We're like, well, which night? He's like, all three.
I don't have shit to do.
I'm like, we're also doing this TV show like the day before. If you're really interested, he's like, yeah.
That's awesome.
So he's basically spent a week working for free with us.
Aww,
that's amazing.
That's insane. Cool.
Yeah. Well, here's this him from today. This was
The answers are, look, the world is a great place. It's just inhabited by and it's the internet's fault. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Right? True words never spoken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want
those guys
to
speak truth.
Epitaph. Yeah.
We got to hang out with Liam last summer. We played a show together in Milan, and afterwards we were all staying in the same hotel, and it was one of those rare instances where we got to bro down with the other band. Yeah. And was, and also there was the third Gallagher brother there. I don't know if you know about.
No.
There's a third.
You guys know about Paul?
Paul, no. The older brother.
No.
Paul was there. Paul was hanging. And we hung for like 4 hours. And to this day, like I get DMs from Paul like all the time. Like, aww, hey, I see you're in Dublin. You need to go here. If you want good Guinness, go here.
That's so cool.
Yeah, they're the best.
Do you ever, and be honest, because we're all friends now, do you ever make business calls on the toilet?
I never have.
Ever.
But I've sent texts.
Yeah, texts, of course. You never done calls?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when you're on the toilet and you're on a call, do you hit mute when you're not speaking and doing business?
Of course.
Wow.
It's normal.
I don't
you're
do
normal.
That.
This fucking lunatic.
But I mean, I hit mute if I'm doing anything.
Right.
If I use the sink, if I.
Yeah, exactly.
If I do mute anything.
So that no one can hear what you're doing.
Yeah, especially if I'm fucking around. I don't like when people are fucking around.
Well, he doesn't hit mute enough because he uses those AirPods.
Yeah.
AirPods. And sometimes his kids will come running into the kitchen. I'm like, dude, I can't
hear you.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
No, she pisses.
It actually sounds insane. It's just like,
yeah.
I'm like, Jesus.
She's pissing. Flushing.
That pee must be getting loud because it compresses. It's like.
But here's the deal, man. So we called our merch guy, who I've been doing that to secretly. I've pooed and peed on the phone with him during our like hour-long talks. He had no idea. And furthermore, he was like, yeah, but I would never think that because you're a lady.
Yeah.
So I feel like I get away with it.
What is it about this guy that you were trying to lord over him like that?
Do you think I'm trying to like...
What is this?
It's not him. It's just I don't talk to many people on the phone. He happens to be like one of the three or four people to talk to.
What?
I never fucking... Who talks on the phone? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's text, it's voice notes.
Everybody mutes. Everybody mutes.
I guess.
That's the
not
standard.
Me. I like him to know what's up.
Dan's a big phone talker.
You are?
Yeah. He's old school.
Yeah.
Pick up the phone.
Pick up the phone.
I only talked about three people on the phone. My dad.
Right.
Dan. And
Santa Claus.
And Miss Cleo.
Yeah. Yeah,
sure. That makes sense.
Drummers, from what I hear, are a little weird sort now. Like slightly autistic, maybe a little. So I don't know. Are you type A?
What's your thing? I think there's a lot of really funny drummers, like Josh Fries. Do you know Josh?
Why does that sound familiar? I don't know.
He plays with everybody. He's in Foo Fighters now, but he also plays with like.
Is he a blonde dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
Yeah, I've seen that guy.
He's an insane drummer, but he's also.
Very
funny. There's a lot of funny drummers,
yeah.
I think.
Well, there you go. I mean,
funny musicians. There's a lot of funny musicians, definitely, in general.
I mean, Noel and Liam are both, they can make you pee your pants, I think.
Yeah, they're so funny.
I wonder if they can drum.
What's that?
I wonder if they can play the drums.
Oh, for sure.
They hang out, when you hang out, do you hang out together with them?
No.
No.
No, they won't hang out together. You don't know this about the Gallagher brothers?
I do. That's what I was making the, I didn't
Never.
Know if this was
That's
the,
a good question.
They're yeah. done.
That'd be crazy if they hung out together all the time.
So it's like, yeah. I didn't know if this incident was hanging out together.
No, separate.
Does the older brother, Paul, does he hang out with both of his brothers?
I think he hangs out with Liam.
Yeah.
But, you know, we love all Gallagher brothers equally.
Yeah.
True story. Wow. Okay. Do you know anybody that still eats their boogers?
My son.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Actually, my 2-year-old really, really is into that.
Eating them.
she's into also me eating, like putting them in my mouth.
No.
That's crazy.
Or transplant.
Yeah, transplanting. Oh. Cool.
Gnarly.
Booger transplant.
That's the only like human being on earth that you allow that with.
Yeah. Oh, it's yeah. Like,
your kid.
For sure.
I know, like the other day, my boy chewing gum, he's like, I hate this. And he put it in my hand, and I just yeah,
yeah.
ate it.
Yeah.
Like that. Most people.
Yeah, I don't care about their dookie. No. I don't care about their... I sit on... They pee on the toilet seats constantly. I just sit down on the seat. Sometimes I forget to wipe or don't look. Yeah. I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah, it's not like stinky old man pee.
No, it's different. It's not like
basically
his.
Water.
Whatever. I don't stink.
Yeah, it is like water.
Ew.
I don't stink.
Everything about you stinky now. Your pee smells like coffee all the time. Whatever. Can your wives identify what you've eaten by your fart smells?
I wonder. Well, speaking of this, I was talking to someone about squirting the other day.
And yeah.
I mean, there's one. It just couldn't you just prove what it is by just eating a bunch of asparagus?
Right.
Wow.
I hadn't really heard that floated out there.
I still hear the back prove and forth.
It. Prove it.
People adamant that it's pee. People adamant that it isn't pee.
Well, just eat asparagus.
Dude, this is such a good point.
Wait 30 minutes
bro,
and we'll find out.
Homie, even fucking better, beets. Bro, because when you eat beets,
it's a little red.
It gets, right?
Yeah.
And then, unless the color.
I think asparagus is better.
Because it smells undeniable.
It could be, there's sometimes, you know.
It could affect
Let's try it. You're a big
secretions.
Time squirter. Why don't you do it tonight?
I've squirted a day of my life. You know what I'm saying? Yes, you have. Can't squirt for shit.
Check this out. This guy is trying to get out of going to the war in Ukraine.
Oh, shit, dude.
No, dude. No, yeah. Dude. Oh, he's like, no, bro.
He's like, I don't want to go.
No, because
I can't.
I didn't watch it. I can't watch it.
But guess what? No battle for him. He's done. It's over.
Okay. I can't watch that shit, man.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
That was cool, Tom.
Wow.
That's really what, cool.
I think, was it Greg Allman did that? Shot himself in the foot?
Did he really? Took it out of Vietnam?
I would.
Or shot his brother in the foot or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah. That's crazy, bro.
That is really crazy.
I honestly, that would be the person that you'd want to send over there.
Crazy motherfucker who shoots himself in the foot.
Yeah.
True
he
story.
Shot himself in the foot. It says right here.
Like, this guy would do anything.
I would. Dude, I wouldn't want to go to fucking Vietnam.
Fuck
I'd be out. Dude, I'd go live in like Puerto Rico or Mexico or... I'm out, homie.
No, my dad went down there and signed up. Send me
He'd
over there.
Volunteer in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. What year was that?
68, six, something like that.
So like after the Tet Offensive, it was like, it was all horrible and he went over.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fucking loves the Marine Corps.
Right.
Well, loved.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, yeah. He's thrilled. Nothing better than Vietnam.
Solid citizen.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he loved getting out of there, but he fucking loved the Marine Corps. Yeah.
Dude, we had so many friends whose dads had a real hard time over there. Like, I remember spending the night, I'm not going to name names, but one buddy's house, and the dad was just always asleep on the couch all day. And I was like, man, the dad's always really tired.
He had a canoe hanging up in the garage just filled with Budweiser
cans. That was a different person to dad. There are a lot of
that was
dads.
The other one.
Oh yeah,
there are a lot of the dads
traumatized.
Absolutely.
One of the dads came over to my house. I had a male babysitter one time, and he and my friend was over there and wouldn't leave, and so the babysitter was like, get out of here, hit him on the back of the head, you know, get out of the house. The guy's dad came over, took my babysitter, pinned him up against the wall.
Yeah.
Dang.
Inside my house.
Disemboweled him on the bayonet.
Yeah.
First of all.
Yeah, I got crazier stories out of my dad. When I was a kid, I would always ask, what was war like? He just wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, I was in charge, so it wasn't really like that. And then.
There's incredible first person stories on YouTube that you were watching pretty heavy for.
Oh, yeah.
About how crazy the war is.
Oh, yeah.
Just crazy ass stories, yeah.
Yeah. Once I got older, he started telling me more real stories. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Very crazy stuff.
Ugh.
Yeah. Probably throwing grenades into bunkers and
no me gusta.
Pulling people out of it. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of good comedians came out of having dads go to Vietnam. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. A lot of creative people were traumatized children.
Yeah.
Emotionally unavailable.
He was kind of checked out.
Was he?
Yeah. Yeah. Emotionally checked out. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Missing in action.
Of course.
Yeah, kind of like, hey, Dad. Yeah. What do you think? He's like, what's that? What's that's probably the thing I heard the most. Yeah.
What's yeah. What was his, what were some of his hobbies?
Hobbies?
Yeah.
He was Olympic weightlifting, which he loved. And then he got into, I mean, he was golf, you know, go on runs. He's a news junkie. He was always reading news, watching news. He was like a intelligent, articulate guy.
Chess.
He loved chess. But he
sounded like he had a good dad.
No, he was a good dad. He was a great dad. He was a great dad. And he also did that thing where I think because a lot of Vietnam vets, you bring up Vietnam and they kind of like, I don't want to talk about it. And his thing was like, what do you want to know? And he would just tell you in detail everything. Right. But I think that's how the trauma, like he was still traumatized. It just manifested differently through him. For him, it was by talking that I think, and by almost giving off the idea that he wasn't deeply traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time you're like, oh, you're deeply traumatized by this.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's shaped you differently. It affects people differently, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Like his brother, my uncle, he flew 600 missions in Vietnam.
He bombed
600 times. He's not an open book about, he doesn't enjoy conversations. You know?
It's just different. With how many years was he over there?
My uncle?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he was a career Air Force guy.
So he's just there.
He was there a long time, flew a lot. My dad was in action over there for like 6-9 months, but he was in the Marine Corps for longer.
Right.
Yeah.
Man. Did he get injured over there?
No. He didn't get injured. He was a lieutenant, so he had a platoon of like 70 men. But yeah, I think what really actually fucked him up the most was losing men.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that stuck with him. Seeing people right next to you die.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad, he's retired now, but he worked for the Akron Beacon Journal as a writer. And the last couple of years before he retired, he was the one that would cover all the, any soldier that was killed in from Northeast Ohio. So he's just like going to a funeral, like, you know, I guess every couple of weeks. It's just,
it's got to beat you down.
I think it really was hard for him. Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's, I mean, to be around that just has to be so sad.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of friends that, like literally 5-6 friends that joined the National Guard when we were like 18, 1998, so that they could get GI Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them had to go to Iraq.
No.
Fuck.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. That sucks, dude.
It was like, I think it was like a 6-year thing, reserves. Yeah. And it was like, they're all just about to be done. And they all was like, psh.
I can't think. I mean, none of us probably go like, oh, that'd be a war that I'd like to be a part of. Like, there's no war where you're like, I'd like to be involved in that. It just all sounds horrible.
Yeah, I mean, no.
Yeah. Especially in our lifetime, I'm saying, you know, like, for some reason, like, you know, you look back on how World War II played out. It's just a different.
Yeah, that's true. You're like, what are we fighting thing, for right you know? Now? Like, what's
yeah, like,
what are we doing?
But, World War II, but it's weird because, like, everybody's grandfather was in World War II.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that really felt like good and evil, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Like sides, yeah.
Well, that real knucklehead.
My grandfather was also, he was an officer. He was a PhD in organic chemistry. But his role in World War II was in the Army, he was at Fort Bragg.
Mm-hmm.
And he was put in charge of, you know, trying to build a Japanese pillbox.
What?
So they could figure out how to like blow it up. So he was given like this part of land to build this like structure and a bunch of dynamite, and it was just solid bedrock. He said he spent a granite or something. He said he spent like, you know, 3 months, and they'd only gotten down like 4 feet. They're supposed to go down like 40 feet. So he kept asking for a different part of Earth to mm-hmm. to fuck with. And he said he spent the whole war just blasting a hole that never, it was really insane.
It sounds kind of fun. Blowing shit up though, right?
Well, I just feel like that type of, maybe that, you know, I don't know, insane task.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, maybe there's a lot of that in the military.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, for people that want to see you guys, are we going to be hitting the road?
We were supposed to be this fall, and that we had a whole tour that was actually doing really well, but our manager told us to cancel it because they had a better idea.
Managers often do.
And then there was no other idea.
Oh, that's cool.
So we don't have a tour and we don't have a manager.
Oh,
because
oh,
we parted ways with them yesterday.
Smart. Oh, congratulations. Oh,
so this is a hot scoop while we were here.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Good.
You heard it here first.
Oh yeah. We are, we're free balling.
Blackie's looking for management.
There you go.
But congrats on the new album.
Thank you.
Ohio
Thank
Players.
You so much.
People can, stream and purchase and get it anywhere you can, anywhere music is available.
Yeah. Napster.
But we will for sure be putting dates up. We'll be on tour. We're going to do some stuff this fall. We're going to try to, you know, we just did this tour of Europe where we did like, we're doing like 5,000 seat rooms, mm-hmm. multiple nights. And it's like the first time we were playing indoors that wasn't like an arena. And mm-hmm. it was just infinitely more fun.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So yeah. I think we're going to try to do some of that this fall and more of that 2025 and do some festivals. And yeah. And we've been throwing these record hangs. We'll be doing those throughout the fall.
Well, I hope you come through Austin. We'd love to come to the show. Back.
Oh, yeah, we will for sure. Thank awesome. You.
Thank you guys for coming so in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank Absolutely. You. You guys are awesome. Thanks, guys.
Bye,
thanks.
Hey, bro, I'm on record for a moment. What is this place? Anyways, what is this place?
You don't need to film.
Oh, I'm the documentary.
I don't care.
This is America, you dumb son of a bitch, okay?
You dumb son of a bitch. I'm a private person. And
I am a fucking American, you stupid fuck. I can ask you anything I want.
I can tell you no anytime I want.
Fucking baby raper on your face, okay, cocksucker?
You're a baby raper. You're the one who looks like a baby raper.
Baby raper,
would you escape from jail?
What's up there, Jomo? Listen here. How do you get a job here, you fuckface?
Well, not by talking like that.
Well, you know what? You're fired, bud. Okay? What's up there, Jomo? You're talking to me? I'm a fucking American, you fuck. You're the one touching my camera through the fence, you faggot. I'm going to talk to the sheriff's department about you, buddy, okay?
Go get him.
Touching my camera through the fence, you faggot. You know what? You're fired, okay? You didn't follow the photo. How do you get a job here?
You don't want to call in?
Yeah. I take cops' badges all the time doing it. You know who you're talking to? A retired double agent here, you fucking retard. You fucking retard. You fucking retard. Okay?
Buddy.
You just lost your life, okay, as far as your job goes.
My life?
No, I told you, job.
You're threatening my fucking life?
Job, bitch.
That's not what you said, asshole.
Well, we're changing it to job because you're taking it out of context there. What's your name, anyways? Job, bitch. Job, bitch. See these wires? You just got your job there, buddy. It's baby raper on your face clothes, okay? Ta-ta there, retard. You didn't follow proto, buddy. You're done. Catching my camera through the fence, you faggot. Ta-ta there, retard. You fucking retard. How do you get a job here, you fuckface? Ta-ta there, retard.